Thank you, Sharon and Dale. What an anointed song, and blessed our hearts today. And it's a joy to be back with you. Last week we were in New Orleans with my family. It was my daughter's 24th birthday, mine and Tammy's 29th anniversary. She lives in Waco. We live in Georgia, and so New Orleans was a good halfway point, and so we enjoyed celebrating some time in the big easy, and so. But I missed you folks. I missed being here, and so I'm glad that you're here today. If this is your first Sunday with us at Lizella Baptist Church, thank you, really from the bottom of our hearts, for getting out in this mess today, and for choosing to worship at Lizella Baptist today. I hope that you've had a great experience, and you'll be back many more Sundays because of your visit with us today. I want to tell you also, I know you guys have met Rocky and Teresa Sullivan. Teresa, raise your hand right here about five rows back. Rocky and Teresa joined about 4 weeks ago, I guess, and I remember I met them in the CLC for the 11 o'clock service, and I don't remember if I told Tammy or I told somebody. I said, we just had the sweetest couple that was at church today. They live, just moved in recently off Columbus Road. And their neighbors, Ronnie and Linda Phillips, invited them to come here. And so I met them, I guess it's probably been a couple of months ago. And just a precious, precious couple. Valentine's morning, Rocky had a massive heart attack and was placed on a ventilator, was taken off the ventilator yesterday, went on to heaven to his eternal reward. And so we're going to celebrate his life here Tuesday at 12 o'clock. Isn't that right? 11 o'clock visitation, and 12 o'clock for the service. And so they're brand new in the community, in Paul Kelly's Sunday school class. And so if you can come and support them, it would mean a lot. I'm telling you, they are a wonderful, wonderful family. And the more you get to know Teresa, the more you'll love her. And so be praying for her in the loss of her husband. We started a new series back in the first Sunday in January, simply entitled The Church. And we've been talking about all manner of aspects regarding the church. We looked at the foundation of the church, the fellowship of the church, the function of the church, the worship of the church. When I was with you a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the unity of the church. And today I want us to examine the witness of the church. The witness of the church. We're going to see in this message today that evangelism is a priority of God. But I'm not sure it's a priority for the people of God. Tony Evans, one of my favorite preachers, said this: some Christians give the impression that once they got saved, God went out of the salvation business. He said, I don't know anyone who would actually say that, but Christians who cannot find the time or the concern to share the gospel with anyone else are saying to the unsaved by their actions, I got my salvation, I hope you get yours. With that in mind, I want to ask you a couple of questions this morning as we begin this message on evangelism. Question number one, do you believe that the presence of God through Jesus can radically transform a person's life? Do you believe the presence of God through Jesus can radically transform a person's life? Now, honestly, if you're a follower of Jesus, if He's your Lord and Savior, He must have changed your life, because you wouldn't have gotten out in this rain today to be here in church today. You've given evidence today that you love Jesus and that you're a follower of His. But I want to ask you a second question this morning. And the second question is this: do you believe that your relatives, that your friends, your co-workers, and your neighbors would be better off if they truly knew God and had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus? Do you believe that your neighbors, that your friends, that your co-workers, your relatives, everybody that you know would be better off if they truly knew God and knew Jesus as their Lord and Savior? And so if you answered yes to those questions this morning, then here's what we all have to believe as a church. The greatest gift that we can give to anyone in this lifetime is the explanation of how to be rightly connected with God. Now let that sink in. Now let that sink into your head. Let that marinate in your heart this morning. The greatest gift that you and I could give anybody in this lifetime is an explanation of how they can be rightly connected with God. Now I want you to think about this. You're not going to take any single earthly commodity from this world into the next life. You're not taking any single physical, material, earthly commodity from this life to the next. You're not taking the land that you own with you. You're not taking the house that you own with you. You're not taking your bank account. You're not taking your achievements. You're not taking your trophies. No earthly commodity, no physical commodity will pass from this life to the next life. The only thing that you will take with you from this world into the next life is that which you've done for Jesus and those souls that you've reached for the kingdom of God. See, every human being that dies will be resurrected and spend eternity in one of two places, either with God in heaven or isolated from God in hell. That's why God wants every single one of His followers, that's you and that's me, to look for people who do not know God and point them to Jesus in a loving, gracious, sensitive way. So if you believe that the presence of God through Jesus can transform a life, if you believe that your relatives, your co-workers, your neighbors, and your family would be better off if they truly knew God and were in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, then as followers, listen, we must be joined together in a single quest to look for people who do not know God and point them to Jesus in a loving, gracious, sensitive way. It's not just the preacher's job. It's not just the staff's job. It's not the deacon's job. It's not just the Sunday school teacher's job, but it's the church's job. In fact, before Jesus left this world to go to heaven, He gave a job description to the church because He didn't want to leave it to chance. And so before He left this planet, He told us exactly what our number one priority and responsibility should be as believers, corporately as a church, and individual as believers. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, that says this, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority has been given to me and on earth, on heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Several weeks ago, I went to a Georgia Baptist evangelism conference, and I didn't make it because of obligations and other things. I was only able to make the last session, and so I didn't have a clue who the speaker of the last session was, but it ended up being a man by the name of Bill Fay. Now, that probably doesn't ring a bell with you, but Bill Fay is famous in the preaching world because he's been known to have witnessed to over 250,000 people. And out of this passion for evangelism, he wrote a book, a resource called Share Jesus Without Fear. Now, most of the time when I go to these evangelism conferences, and I try to go when they're close, most of the time I leave those evangelism conferences feeling guilty and just feeling beat down because I don't share Jesus. I'm a moment of transparency. I don't share Jesus as much as I should have. But this conference that I went to with Bill Fay was vastly different because he, at the end of his speaking, he said, if some of you want to hang around, I want to just share with you for about 30 minutes how you can share Jesus without fear. It was the most helpful, the most beneficial, the most practical conference that I've ever attended as a pastor because he didn't treat us like pastors who are supposed to have all the answers. He treated us like people who are leaders of a church who need to be loved, encouraged, and equipped. And I needed that because, to be honest with you, the number one reason that I do not share Jesus as much as I should is because of fear. And if I were a betting man, I would bet the reason that you don't share Jesus as much as you should is because of fear. The fear of being rejected. The fear of being asked a question that you don't have the answer to. The fear of someone getting angry with you and ticked off at you and never speaking to you again. I want to share something with you encouraging that I learned this week in preparation for this marriage. Tom Rainer is a church expert, an evangelism expert, and he did some pretty extensive research over a two-year period. He had 15 research assistants, and they went vastly throughout the United States and into Canada, all of North America, and they interviewed extensively unchurched people from every major age and ethnic group. And he discovered from all these unchurched people that he met with that there are five faith stages of people who are unchurched. And so this is his scale that he wrote. It's U1 through U5. And I'm going to try to explain this as best and quickly as I can. U1, which is 10%, represents the Americans who are unchurched, but they're highly receptive to a gospel conversation. These are people who have been thinking about, considering becoming saved, but they're not in a church yet. And so they would probably, most likely, attend if someone invited them. But if you wanted to have a gospel conversation with that U1, which is 10%, they would joyfully welcome it. And then there's the U2 group. It's a great band. Also a group in Tom Rainer's scale, which is 27% of unchurched individuals in America who are receptive to hearing a gospel message about Jesus. Then there's U3. Now, this is a neutral group. This is 36%, the biggest group in Tom Rainer's scale. This is the group I was in as a teenager. They don't really have a lot of interest in church, a lot of interest in Jesus, but they're open to discussion. They will gladly dialogue with you. They won't be angry. They won't be overly delighted, but they would gladly talk to you about faith in Jesus and what it means to be a Christian. Then there's the U4. Now, these are a little more resistant to the gospel, but they're not hostile about it. They're not going to bite your head off. They're not going to cuss you out for entering a gospel conversation with them, but they're just a little bit resistant. But then there's a 5% group called the U5. Now, this group encompasses that small minority of Americans who are highly educated, and they place their faith in their education. And they don't believe in God. They don't want to talk about God. They're angry. So they're highly antagonistic and hostile to the gospel. Now, those are the ones that you and I fear the most encountering. But the good news is it's only 5%. And so Tom Rainer, through his research, discovered that out of 160 million people, unchurched people in America, only 5% are hostile to a gospel conversation. In other words, if you share your testimony, if you share the gospel with any stranger, there's only a 1 in 20 chance that you will come across somebody in this U5 group who's hostile to the gospel. I remember some years ago we were doing Tuesday night visitation in this church, and I was the youth pastor. This would have been back in the early 90s, and we had Tuesday night visitation, and so I took a group out, and I got a card, and it was somebody that was on Tidwell Road, and so me and the group went to pull it into the driveway, and there was a guy who was out in the driveway, and he saw us come in, and he kind of looked down, and I got out, and I said, "Hey, bud," I said, "I'm Chris Minton from Lizella Baptist Church." He walked over to his boat, which was next to the driveway. He pulled out a paddle and began walking towards me. And he said, "I told y'all to leave me the heck alone." So he didn't say heck. "I told y'all to leave me the heck alone. I ain't interested in your church." That's a U8, U9, U10 kind of guy. I mean, he's beyond U5. The good news is that's only about 1 out of 20 people that you would encounter in a gospel conversation. Now, in that guy's defense, we got back to the church, and I discovered that we'd sent groups over there 5 Tuesday nights in a row, so I understand. But there's only about 1 in 20 that you'll encounter with the gospel who will have that kind of hostility and anger in their approach to you. In fact, this may shock and encourage you. I hope it does. According to Rainer's research, out of this U4 group, out of that 21% who aren't really receptive to the gospel, 62% of that U4 category would go to church if someone invited them. Now, that's encouraging. But let me share with you something this morning that is really encouraging. 75% of the people that you meet on the street, in Walmart, at Waffle House, wherever you go, 75% of the people that you meet, strangers, that you engross in a gospel conversation, 75% of them will either want to hear about Jesus or want to hear your testimony. Now let me just share something with you as your pastor and as your spiritual leader. I was sitting in this conference, Share Jesus Without Fear, several weeks ago, and I was deeply moved and convicted. This wasn't guilt, this wasn't sadness or remorse. I was deeply convicted and pierced by the Holy Spirit because I do not share my faith enough. I need to be more intentional about sharing my faith with people that I come into contact with. Several months ago, I was sitting in a group of six other pastors, and the leader of the Georgia Baptist Convention and the evangelism department was meeting with six of us pastors. And so when pastors get together, nobody is ever transparent. I'm not bragging, but I'm the most transparent pastor you'll ever meet. And in a moment of transparency and vulnerability, I said, "Guys, I covet your prayers." I said, "Because I find it a whole lot easier to encourage Christians and much more intimidating to confront lost people." They looked at me like I denied the virgin birth. I mean, how dare you? I said, "I'm just being honest." For some odd reason, out of that meeting, I was recruited by the Georgia Baptist Convention to be an evangelism coach for three pastors. It'd be like you meeting with somebody and them telling you, I'm not really into football. And you say, "You know what, you'd be a great head coach." I don't know, but I accepted the challenge because I'm going to meet with three pastors monthly, have a meal with them. We're going to talk about evangelism, and we're going to hold each other accountable to have five gospel conversations a week. You say, "Boy, that's not many." Well, you do more, big boy. If you do more. Because I don't know about you, that's not going to be easy for me because that's way out of my comfort zone. See, here's the problem that I have, and I would bet that many of you have it as well. The longer that I attend church, the fewer discussions I have with unchurched people because the vast majority of my friends are churched. That means we have to be more I have to be more intentional about developing relationships with unchurched people. And so there has to be three words that we move forward to be more evangelistic. And those three words are anyone, anywhere, anytime. We have to believe as a church, we have to believe as Christians, that if we believe that Jesus can make everybody's life better, then anyone, anywhere, anytime ought to be available for us to enter into a gospel conversation with them. And so let me just ask you a question this morning. Do you understand that the people you live with, work with, live next door to, play golf with, hang out with, go out to eat, every one of those people are one prayer away from a life-changing, eternal-changing faith in Jesus? Do you believe that? Imagine what would happen if every member of Lazella Baptist Church, if every school teacher, if every office worker, if every business owner, if every salesman said, "I love my job, but I'm really in the people business. I'm paid by this company, but my real job is my mission. I am here to be a witness to the people that I work with so that they can know Jesus and be rightly connected to Him." Every Christian is called and commanded to give witness to a risen Lord Jesus so that others may know Him besides us. There's something that Bill Fay said that what just convicted me and captivated me. He said there are two kinds of Christians in this world: those who talk about lost people and those who talk to lost people. Those who talk about lost people and those who talk to lost people. Now, whenever the the subject of evangelism comes up, if you're like me, my palms get sweaty, my heart begins to quicken, guilt is instantly induced. But there's a powerful verse in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that should be a real motivation for us to get outside of our comfort zone and outside of our fears to be a witness for Jesus. And here's what that verse says, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a very familiar verse, says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." What this verse is telling us is that anyone, anywhere, anytime should be on our mind as a possibility of someone who can be saved. Now, let me just ask you this. How many of you know that this world needs Jesus? How many of you know that this world needs Jesus? God has instructed you and me as His witnesses to get Jesus out there that this world may turn to Him. And all a witness is it sharing what they've seen and sharing what they've have experienced. If you're a Christian, if you're a blood-bought, born-again child of God, that is good news that is worthy to be shared with others. I'm so glad I don't have to get up here this morning and preach bad news. There's so much bad news in this world. If you watch a news show, it's just all bad news. And this person was shot. This person was stabbed. This person was arrested. This person was robbed. The Lord knows this world needs good news, and Jesus is the best news there is. That's all evangelism is. It's sharing the good news. Listen, it's bragging on Jesus. And so we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do that. You cannot be a witness on your own, but the Holy Spirit has to empower you to be a witness for Jesus. That word power there is an amazing word in the Greek. It's the word dunamis, which is where we get our word dynamite. And so Paul is saying here, Luke is saying here, that the Holy Spirit gives us explosive power when He comes to live in us. The Holy Spirit doesn't come just to hang out with us to be our buddy, but the Holy Spirit comes in us to empower us, to work through us, to point others to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's main objective is to shine the light on Jesus, to bear witness to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit wants to use me and wants to use you as witnesses for Jesus. And so we have to utilize the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to see, secondly, if we're going to be great witnesses for Jesus, really what we have to do is to spend time with Him. And I know this is so simple, but I'm just reminding you, the more time you spend with Jesus, the more effective your witness will be. Someone wisely said, the more time you spend with Jesus, the better you will know Jesus. The better you know Jesus, the more excited you'll be for Jesus. The more excited you are about Jesus, the more people you'll tell about Him. So spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer with Jesus. Let Jesus be the first thing on your mind when you wake up in the morning. Don't get on Facebook. Don't go on social media. Don't see what all your buddies are doing. Don't look at all their pictures. The first thing you need to do when you wake up is to get in God's book and spend effective time with Him. And the more time you spend with Him, the better you will know Him. The better you know Him, the more excited you'll be about Him. And the more excited you are about Him, the better witness you'll be for Him. So spend time with Jesus, and I want you to see thirdly and finally, and I'll be finished with this, is just brag on Jesus. If you want to be an effective witness for Jesus, just brag on Him. See, here's what I've discovered. We evangelize about those things that excite us. Some of you are great evangelists for your grandkids. Did I tell you about my grandkid? Yeah, 2 hours ago. Good, let's change the subject here. They evangelize. They're excited. Some evangelize about their new pickup truck. Why don't you show you my new pickup truck? Let me show you my new pickup truck. I've seen it. You're just excited about it, so you evangelize about it. Some people evangelize about other things that excite them. The best way to witness for Jesus is just to brag on Him. We were Friday afternoon. A guy pulled into the driveway, and he and his wife got out, and I was out in the yard, and they had a dog that was on a leash, And so I walked over to him. He said, let me introduce, I can't remember his name, but he said, I'm from Ideal, Georgia. And I said, well, that's an ideal place to be. I don't know why I think I'm funny. It just comes out. But he said, my wife was riding down Highway 80 and saw this dog was running along the highway with a leash on. And he said, we were worried it was going to get ran over. He said, my wife put it in the truck. She took it to Macon. It didn't have a chip in it. And he said, I didn't know if you knew this dog, where this dog lived. I'd love to get it back to its owner. And I said, yeah. I said, actually, I do. And this guy kind of looked like he had preacher hair. He had a preacher voice. And so I said, you know, I do, actually. I said, I walk and run down Smith Chapel Road. And I said, this dog always comes out to greet me. I said, no, right where he lives. And the guy said, praise Jesus. I said, boy, the lady, she's going to be excited. I think she lives there by herself, and she seems like she loves this dog. He said, praise Jesus. I said, I'll be glad to take him back to where he lives. He said, praise Jesus. I said, I get it. He's bragging on Jesus. Every time he would say praise Jesus, he'd look at me like, you going to praise him? Because I guarantee you, he was getting ready to share the gospel with me. And I kept saying, he's good. Yeah, well, praise Jesus. He's bragging on Jesus. Listen, that's what we've got to do. We'll brag on so many other things. The greatest event that's ever happened in our life is our salvation, when the Son of God stepped out of heaven and stepped into our heart. That's worthy of praise. That's worthy to be bragged on. Let people know what Jesus has done in your life. Be a witness for them. Tell them what you have seen. Tell them what you've experienced. The greatest definition I've seen for evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. That's what evangelism is. Now, can I ask you a very convicting question as I come to a conclusion in this message? When is the last time you shared the gospel with a friend, a coworker, a family member, or a stranger? If we were to be honest, for some of us, it's been a long time. It's real easy for a lot of us to come into this church and to serve in positions and think that we're doing God a great service because we're serving in His church, but we fail to be an effective witness outside of the church. The best leader you can be in this church is when you're effectively sharing Christ outside of this church. Because sharing Jesus is the greatest work in this world. It's the greatest responsibility and the greatest privilege that God has given to us. And it's something that we need to do religiously. There was a lady who was living in a high-rise apartment, and a fire broke out in the apartment, and she managed to get out to safety, and she sat on the grass outside in a parking lot, and she just was weeping uncontrollably. First responders came over to her and put a blanket over her, and they said, you're all right now. No harm's going to come to you. And she said, I know I'm all right. And they said, well, ma'am, can I ask you, why are you so upset? She said, because I didn't save anyone else. She said, I didn't do what I could to get others out of the building. And she said, there's people in there who are perishing, who are dying, and I did nothing to save them. And they said, ma'am, you're fortunate. You made it out alive. You need to count your blessings. And she was weeping. She said, but I didn't even try. I wonder how many of us are going to get to the end of our life and say, I didn't even try. I had a neighbor, I had a niece, I had a sister, I had a coworker, I had a boss, I had a friend that I spent time with, that I had conversation after conversation with, that we laughed with, we wept with, we shared with, but I never shared the most important gift, the greatest gift in this world. I never shared it with them. I didn't even try. The greatest gift that you could give to anyone in this lifetime is the understanding of how to be rightly connected with the greatest gift this world has ever known. His name is Jesus. And my friend, we got to try. There are people all in this community, there are people in this world who are dying and going to a devil's hell because we've stayed silent too long. We've been scared too long. We need to get out of our comfort zone, and we need to share with people what we've experienced in the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. I want to ask you a simple question this morning. Do you know, beyond any of a shadow of doubt, that you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus? I didn't ask you if you're a good person. I didn't ask you if you come to church. But I'm asking you, do you know for certain that the Lord Jesus lives in your heart, and if you died today, you would spend eternity in heaven with Him? You may be here this morning and you may think, Chris, I hope so. I sure hope I will. I can tell you today that you can know for certain that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Just call out to Him. Acknowledge that you've sinned. You're a sinner. Acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge your need for Jesus. And just call on Him and say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sin. Please come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd come in and save me. If you prayed that prayer this morning, just a moment, we're going to have an invitation, and I invite you to step out of your seat. I'll be standing down front. Rick will be standing down front. You come as the Lord leads you to come. Now, there's another group here. I want to ask you a question. Are you brokenhearted over lost people? Maybe you have a family member, maybe you have a boss, maybe you have a neighbor that you know they're not saved and they're not churched. Has Jesus burdened your heart about their spiritual condition? Maybe you just need to come down and spend some time in prayer and say, God, rekindle in my heart that need, that desire to be more evangelistic. I spent time at the altar at a church in Warner Robins because I knew that my heart was not right. And I want to ask you that same question. Is your heart right? Are you burdened over lost people? Maybe you're looking for a church to join and the Lord is leading you here. We would rejoice in that you come as He leads. Whatever the Lord is leading you to do, you be obedient in this time of invitation. Father, stir our hearts. Convict us. Empower us. Encourage us today. You are so very good to us. We love you so much. God, please, I pray in the name of Jesus, break our hearts for that which breaks your heart. Give us names, Lord. Put the names of people on our minds now that you want us to talk to. Lord, we've messed around long enough. Lord, it's time. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And Lord, we need to be honest with people about where they're headed. Hell is real and it's hot and it's eternal. Break our hearts, God, for that. I pray you'd stir us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. I'll be standing down front. The Lord leads you to come. You come.